From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
I, my entire adult life, have defended people's rights to protest. And peaceful protest is something that I absolutely support. But this is a mob. This is a riot. These are people who are not practicing democracy. In fact, they are, you know, doing the will of a wannabe tin pot dictator.
Back with my interview with Representative Adam Kinzinger. What do you make of our commander-in-chief today?
I mean, unfit for office. I think, it's a disaster. And I think Americans are happy that we only have two more weeks of this left. But they could be two interesting weeks.
Newly elected congresswoman from Illinois is being criticized for quoting Adolf Hitler outside the Capitol building this week.
Hitler was right on one thing. He said, whoever has the youth has the future.
Republican Mary Miller of the 15th District made that remark at a rally Tuesday hosted by the conservative group Moms for America. She replaced longtime Congressman John Shimkus and was just sworn into her first term on Sunday.
Let me be clear. Hitler got nothing right. This reprehensible rhetoric has no place in our politics.
Governor J.B. Pritzker responding to comments made by newly sworn-in Congresswoman, Republican Mary Miller of the 15th District. She spoke during a rally in Washington this week, just before a pro-Trump mob stormed the U.S. Capitol. We also heard from Republican Adam Kinzinger. He's no fan of President Trump. And we listened to U.S. Senator and Democrat Tammy Duckworth. All hell broke loose in Washington this week, temporarily putting a stop to the certification of the presidential vote, but that was completed. Joe Biden will become president in less than 2 weeks. What is going to happen to the Republican Party, both across the country and here in Illinois? And also, state lawmakers are coming back to Springfield, and how long will they be staying? We'll talk about that and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield, and our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, emeritus professor and former director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. He's also a longtime State House reporter and observer. Also with us, Hannah Meisel, NPR Illinois Government and Politics reporter. And joining us today, Chris Mooney, political science professor at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And Chris, it's good to have you on with us once again.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sean.
So, Chris, let me go to you first. So many weeks of political news go by that are forgotten. I don't think we'll forget this one anytime soon. But a bigger topic of discussion may be what happens next for Republicans. The party divide seems wider than ever. So your thoughts on where things stand?
Well, it's always you also have to be careful about drawing any conclusions when you're in the middle of the fog of war, which is basically where we're at right now. Things are fine. Things are going crazy. Best to keep your head down. And the Republicans right now are, they're trying to figure out which way do you jump? Do you stick with Trump like they've been doing for the last 4 years, or is it time to jump off? And I think we take a look at the senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham's speech on the floor in the middle of the night the other day after they'd been, the insurrection had been put down. When he said, he's the ultimate political chameleon, right? So now it's time to jump. He said, okay, I'm done with Trump now, I'm out. So are the other Republicans going to do that? The rump of the party that sticks with Trump, what will they do?
Well, Charlie, here in Illinois, we, of course, have seen this state go much more blue, much more Democratic through the years. But if you look outside of the Chicago area, Donald Trump did okay in many of the districts and many of the areas what you would consider to be downstate Illinois, but not so well in the suburban areas. You have people like Adam Kinzinger. He's a congressman from the suburbs. One of those people, one of those Republicans who have not been on board with Donald Trump, and the push to the right has seemed to hurt a lot of those Republicans in those areas. He's been one that's been able to survive it. What do you see going forward for Republicans, and especially here in the state of Illinois?
Well, I think the Republicans in Illinois are facing a real challenge, and that is, how do you become again the party of Abraham Lincoln? How do you become the party that provided people like Dick Ogilvie and Charles Percy and Jim Thompson and Jim Eger, when the southern and east central parts of the state appear to be more inclined to people who are racist, people who are willing to quote Adolf Hitler, of all people. I mean, how could you not find somebody else to say something about educating kids rather than choose probably the worst human being who's lived in the last 500 years? So that's a real difficulty for them. Yeah, there are areas in southern Illinois that are very strongly pro-Trump people. And I suspect part of it is sort of maybe overt or implicit racism. They don't like the idea that the notion that they had of what life was supposed to be like, where women and blacks knew their place, and we didn't have to worry about people with Mexican-sounding names and accents. We could be true Americans, that kind of rhetoric. And unfortunately, a huge chunk of the Republican Party seemed to move that direction, being goaded and inspired, I suppose, by Donald Trump, who, in my judgment, is the worst president this country has ever had, even worse than Andy Jackson. But it's going to be a real challenge. How do you find moderate voices who are willing to step forward, who are willing to acknowledge that we are a nation of many different ethnic backgrounds, many different religious beliefs, but underneath it all, we're all people who aspire for the same things for ourselves and for our families, and to follow the kind of the guidance that was set up 200 and how many odd years ago when we threw off the monarchy of the British government.
Hannah, there are certainly moderate voices still in the Republican Party. I don't know if you would call Adam Kinzinger moderate or not, but certainly he's been outspoken on Donald Trump. So those voices are there. They've just been muffled through the years, it seems.
Yeah, I've been fascinated with the Illinois Republican Party for a while. And, you know, I think it's really interesting that the actual state party, the Illinois GOP, they had their own kind of, I mean, I used to say the word, throw around the word coup, but now we've all seen one this week, so I'm not sure if that's appropriate. But they have had their own power struggle in recent years. Tim Schneider, who was the handpicked chair for the party back in 2014 by then candidate Bruce Rauner, who obviously then went on to become governor, even though he is fairly conservative, he was, as the as Trump became a candidate and then, of course, president, and he brought the party along to the right and accepted into the fold a lot of these what we would have called fringe conspiracy theorists, but now are truly just a chunk of the party. So as time went on, Tim Schneider was viewed by folks in power in the Illinois Republican Party as too moderate, as too complacent. And so a couple of years ago, they tried to install Lake County Republican chair Mark Shaw, who is much, much more conservative and outspoken and big supporter of Donald Trump. Didn't quite work. What they ended up doing was making him, I don't know, co-chair of recruitment or something. But the Illinois Republican Party is a lot more focused on national issues. The folks who sit on that state central committee, the incentives are set up as such that those are the folks who are going to be the most outspoken conservative Republicans. And so that's going to move the party to the right. Now, in the actual legislature, though, in the state legislature, we do have a lot of moderates, and that's the tradition of, you know, Jim Thompson, Jim Edgar, you know, a lot of these folks who, you know, back in the day were able to get a lot done across the aisle. And, you know, it's not like those folks are going away. They are becoming rarer. I mean, there is no such thing apparently anymore as a pro-choice Republican. Just as on the other side, folks on the left are less and less willing to accept, you know, a pro-life Democrat. So we're getting boxed more and more into these corners. And I think that the moderate Republicans who, you know, are still in power. Jim Durkin, House Republican leader, perfect example, suburban Republican who has been able to hold on to a seat and the respect of his caucus. But it's just ever more a dance. And the other thing is, when, you know, we see what we saw this week in Washington, you know, folks here are saying, oh, well, my God, this isn't who we are. This isn't who we are. And I think there's a bit of a hot potato because they say, well, we're not in charge. And those folks aren't, you know, that's not who we represent. Those folks aren't in our party. But someone has to take charge and say, well, we're going to expel them from our party. But it's hard because we have this, you know, two-party system. We have this dichotomy. So you got to go somewhere. And, you know, I don't see where, how, like, a clear path forward for Republicans right now.
Yeah, Chris, Republicans don't have to give up conservative values to be successful necessarily, do they? I mean, maybe here in Illinois that might be a problem. You may need somebody way more in the middle. But we've seen a lot of pretty staunch conservatives who I think people on both sides would say, you know, they were statesmanlike. These people have done a good job. They just represent their area. They represent their beliefs. They don't have to give all of that up, do they?
No, and really, I mean, you know, none of what's going on with the Republican Party has to do with conservative principles at the moment. It has to do with Donald Trump. And, you know, the way we do parties in this country, none of them, you know, say, except for maybe the Libertarian Party under some conditions, they're not really logical, right? It's not like they have, you know, let's sit around and think about what we really care about, and then let's extrapolate those principles to public policy in a real rational way. That's not how it happens. The parties figure out what are the package of issues that we can put together that's going to differentiate us from those other guys and get enough people into our group. And that's why abortion regulation is the central public policy issue of this nation for the last 50 years, and it really has defined the party system that we have today. And just as Hannah was just talking about it, you know, it's gotten so extreme. Now, you can make those arguments without, you know, without the Trump stuff in the background, and I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing. To tell you the truth, I think one of the problems with the Illinois Republican Party, you know, other than the demographics. And as things move forward, you know, those trends are against the Republican Party. So there's a problem with that. The urbanization of Illinois, you know, that's bad for the Republican Party. The other thing is that the Democrats have been so good, and in particular Mike Madigan and his operation have been so good at moving out into the suburbs. So the Democrats are now the ones that control all those sort of you know, marginal districts out there in the suburbs of the Chicagoland area. And what that means is that the Republican Party can be pure because they've been purged. The only place they're successful are in sort of the rural and small town parts of the state. And so they can be very extreme if they want to, because that's, you know, it's a very homogenous group that they're speaking to. But the Democrats now have to deal with this the messy suburbs. And so they have the moderates and they have the internal fighting, and the Republicans can move forward. It wasn't that long ago the Republicans were in the position the Democrats are in now. You know, you had, you know, Jim Edgar in 1994 wins more, you know, he wins the biggest, as I think it was, the biggest reelection margin of any governor, you know, in modern history anyway. But he was still challenged in the primary. By the sort of right wing, and there's always been the sort of 20% or whatever of the Republican Party in this state that's, you know, really, really, you know, Mary Miller kind of extreme right wing. But maybe that percentage is getting higher now as the Republicans have kind of been purged from the suburbs.
Well, you're listening to State Week. I'm Sean Crawford, along with Charlie Wheeler, Hannah Meisel, and Chris Mooney. And Charlie, we've been talking a little bit there about Mary Miller, the new congresswoman who replaced John Shimkus in the 15th Congressional District. I get your thoughts on this. She did apologize as of Friday morning, finally, for the comments she made regarding Adolf Hitler at this rally in Washington this week. But quite a way to start her legislative career. There are people out there in the Democratic side, at least, pushing for her to resign. That seems like that might be a stretch. But, you know, can she recover from this? We see politicians say dumb things a lot. I mean, can she actually overcome this?
I would think it might be difficult. I think, and I was talking about this with someone else the other day, we're going into a year of redistricting. The state overall has lost population, and the population loss is going to be greater outside the Chicago area. So I could see a congressional map drawn in which Ms. Miller finds herself in the same district as Mike Bost and Rodney Davis. And that would be interesting. Now, she could run in some other district, because you don't have to live in the district where you're running as long as you live in the state. But I'm not sure she would be able to recover from those remarks, say, running in a suburban district. But as Chris mentioned, downstate Illinois has changed dramatically. And part of it has to do with the demographic changes. Part of it has to do with the changes in the industry. You don't have the union coal miners, the union manufacturing workers, the blue-collar folks down there in the same numbers that there were, say, 40 years ago. Those people tended to be conservative, but they also tended to be Democrats. Now, most of those jobs have disappeared, and it's the, to use a cliche, it's like the rural shopkeepers, and they have totally different views. And the Republicans have always had a conservative streak, but Donald Trump has magnified kind of the white supremacy element, if you will, with his racist comments. And that's something the party is going to have to recover from. And if you look at people who I consider to be real conservatives, Donald Trump is not a conservative. Donald Trump is a con man. And he's very good at what he does. He sells people a load of garbage, because that's what he is. But if you look at what true conservatives, people who've been carrying the flag for a long time, people like Bill Kristol, people like George Will, they've been calling him out from day one that these are not conservative principles. And I would tend to agree with them. And back when I was an active reporter, there were conservatives in the legislature who would argue with the liberals, but they would find common ground. There wasn't the kind of personal animosity that exists these days. And part of it is social media, of course, because you have Twitter and you have Facebook that give people the opportunity just to live in their own silo and only hear from people who agree with them in the first place. So that's a problem too.
Well, before time does get away from us, I want to save a few moments here to talk about the Illinois General Assembly coming back for what we lovingly call the lame duck session, the period before the new term begins, which that will happen on Wednesday. Democrats have their own problems. They're trying to figure out who is going to be the Illinois House Speaker, Michael Madigan. He's been kind of implicated in this Commonwealth Edison bribery scandal that's been out there for months. Madigan's still holding on to power, but maybe he doesn't have enough votes. There's been some other people who've now said they would be willing to run for Speaker. Hannah, you've been following this. Are we in for a long, drawn-out battle here, or is this going to get decided rather quickly?
I don't see, and the folks I've been talking to do not see a way in which this gets resolved quickly and, you know, everyone claps each other in the back. It's going to be messy. It's going to be ugly. There are going to be a lot of, you know, hurt feelings. And it's, you know, in 38 years, there has not been a question of who would be the leader. You know, it was always going to be Madigan. He was, you know, he's been House Speaker for all but 2 years since 1983, and that was only because the Republicans won a majority in the House, and the Speaker was demoted to Minority Leader, and then 2 years later, he won back House Speaker. So it's just, you know, it's hard for a lot of these Republicans, especially the ones who have been, I guess you would put them in the loyalist camp, although I'm not sure that leaves a lot of room for the proper nuance. But, like, it's hard for, you know, for people who have been in the General Assembly for a decade, maybe more, it's hard for them to imagine how things will work without Madigan. So I think that's part of the reason that a lot of these folks are hanging on, because they're worried about, you know, how things will work, and they're worried about their own, you know, legislative priorities and the changes that they want to make. And especially the Black Caucus, who, you know, before Christmas, they held an endorsement session and ended up endorsing the speaker for, you know, what would be his 19th term. And they have a huge, huge omnibus package of bills that address things like policing and health care and opportunity, economic access and educational opportunities. It's every single thing that folks for years, for decades, have been saying, we need this in our community. This is how we get a leg up. They, you know, they want these things. They want to pass these things, but they don't see a way forward on those legislative priorities without a Mike Madigan.
Well, of course, Madigan, his name is still in the running. We think he's going to make a push to retain his position. But there have been these other names pop up. I believe Representative Ann Williams, one of the latest that has.
That's right.
I don't know. I would imagine there are other people out there who might get involved and might say, I'm a candidate for this, if Madigan was to get out of the way.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's, you know, back in the fall, House Representative Stephanie Kifwit, she announced that she would run. No one ever really took that seriously, but it did at least open the door for other folks. And then Kathy Willis, who is already in leadership, she kind of stunned a lot of people by before, you know, I think it was in December, she said, I can't in good conscience vote for the speaker. And then she, a few weeks later, came out and said, you know, actually, I would like to run. And then the most recent is Ann Williams, very well liked, very well respected House Democrat. She has, you know, lots of experience. She used to work in the Attorney General's office. You know, but they are, like Sean said, they're not the only three. I think when we, over the weekend, just got notice that House Democrats will caucus twice every day. The first one will be over legislation. The second one will be over leadership issues. And as things progress, I think that there will be other candidates that come to the forefront. But like I said, long, drawn out, messy.
Chris,
I think is going to be interesting is when Jesse White calls the House to order on the first day of the new session, and they begin the nominations for speaker, will the requirement be that anybody who wants to be speaker has to be nominated for the first ballot? Or can someone come out of the weeds, you know, 30, 40 ballots down the road? Now, in the only other battle for House Speaker that we've had since Illinois entered the modern ages with the new Constitution back in 1970, when it was ratified, was in 1975, and Bill Redmond, a backbencher from DuPage County, came out of nowhere to be elected speaker. But he was nominated on the first ballot. There were 12 people nominated on the first ballot, and on the final one, on the 93rd ballot, there were still, I think, four or five people who actually got votes. And Redmond had 89, which was the requirement back then, aided by seven Republicans who crossed over.
Well, despite these people saying, you know, many of them, 19, I believe, have said that they will not support Michael Madigan. Chris, you can't count him out, and he still has a solid block of support, it appears, going into this session. So, I mean, could this still play out in Madigan's favor?
You never say no when you're talking about Mike Madigan. You never count him out. He's wiggled out of more tight spots than, my Aunt Gertie getting out of a girdle or something, you know. But this looks to me like the end. And I think that what matters now. It's Madigan. You know, in some ways, this is a lot like the Trump situation. That you've got a person who's extremely good at what they do. Trump is extremely good at engendering loyalty among a certain group of people. And Mike Madigan is extremely good at being a legislative leader. I mean, the job of the legislative leader is to maintain or gain a majority for their chamber, for their caucus in the chamber. And he has done that brilliantly over the years. That means that everybody in his caucus owes him lots from all the help that they've gotten over the years. And so he's been able to wiggle out of things. But I think even for a genius and a person who's, extremely successful, sometimes you can be too successful. And I think that's the situation here. He's because he has served so long, it's going to be much more conflictual when it turns over. It's like it's kind of like plate tectonics, right? In the earth, if you get little bitty earthquakes every now and then, you get a new speaker every now and then, we dump this person, it's a little shaky, but it's not so bad. But if the tension builds up and all those tensions build up for many years before you do get a new one, then it's just a monumental mess. And that's what we're running.
Let's go down to our notes from the field, and Charlie, let's go to you first.
Well, the experiment, if you want to call it that, of Illinois with recreational marijuana appears to have been a huge success. The numbers are now in for the first year of legal pot sales, which was last year. And we wound up selling $669 million worth of the stuff, 14.5 million items were sold, and we've brought in a total of $175 million in tax revenues from the sale of legal weed. So I guess it's here to stay.
All right, and Hannah?
Well, vaccine distribution, as you might have heard, is a slower rollout than was initially promised. But so far in Illinois, our latest update that we got midweek is 207,000 frontline healthcare and workers and nursing home residents and staff have gotten vaccinated. And that includes a few thousand who have gotten their second dose. And in a few weeks, we'll begin this phase 1B, which includes seniors beginning at age 65. And all frontline or all essential workers, including teachers, and that's a group of about 3.3 million people.
All right, and Chris?
Yeah, following up on the trials and traumas of the Illinois Republican Party, this week saw a Twitter spat between Congressman Adam Kinzinger from the exurbs of Chicagoland area, as we talked about before, and newly elected State Senator Darren Bailey of Xenia, Illinois. When he was in the House last year, he was the one that got thrown out for not wearing a mask. And he's a very big anti-masker, huge Trumper, and they're fighting it out. And they're both kind of expected to run for statewide office. And so this might be an example of how the Republicans sort themselves out or how they kill each other as they work into the future.
All right, that's all of the time we have for this episode of State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler, Hannah Meisel, and Chris Mooney. You can get a podcast of our show. It's available at nprillinois.org or through the NPR One app. And production assistance for the program was provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Sean Crawford.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capitol by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.